Welcome to the Playlist Podcast, a weekly discussion of films and TV. I'm your host, Charles Barfield, managing editor of the Playlist. And as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Mike D'Angelo and Brian Farver. Are you two ready to make like some Italian plumbers and hop into an interdimensional portal to Dino Hatton?
Yahoo!
Hey, I saw that movie opening night, okay? Opening night.
Well, you were like 10 though, right? Like, I mean, that's okay.
It was ruined.
Dude, I still love that movie. Don't fuck with Mario.
You just watched it, didn't you? Didn't you?
I still love it.
Pulling back the curtain.
So bonkers.
Mike D'Angelo right now is literally wearing a Super Mario Brothers the movie t-shirt.
Yep. Yes. This ain't no game.
This ain't no game. So yeah, if you're confused by that intro, you're one of the lucky people that hasn't experienced 1993's Super Mario Brothers feature film. But that's a pretty good tease for this week, because for the next hour or so, we're going to talk about video game films and TV adaptations. Specifically, we're going to talk a little bit about why these projects typically don't work. And then we're going to each pitch one video game that we think Hollywood should actually take a shot at adapting. This topic came up for a couple of reasons. First, if you're someone who follows us regularly, you probably know that we spoke to filmmaker Ben Wheatley recently about his new horror film, In the Earth. And during that conversation, we brought up the reasons why Wheatley left the upcoming Tomb Raider film sequel and why he thinks video game adaptations are so difficult. Also, we're all preparing for next week when the new reboot of Mortal Kombat hits theaters and HBO Max. And while we can't talk about that film at all right now, we can tease that.
But we've seen it.
We have. Yes. Well, we cannot tell you one way or another if it's any good. But what we can say is that next week we'll be running a really fun interview with Sub-Zero, Joe Taslim. So make sure you stick around for that. But before we explain how to fix the video game film curse, I got to tell you the Playlist Podcast is part of the Playlist Podcast Network, which includes Be Real, The Fourth Wall, Deep Focus, and more. And if you want to find us, you can check your podcast app of choice, whether that's Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Spotify, Anchor, Stitcher, or anywhere else you find your favorite shows. Okay, gentlemen. Let's talk about video game films and TV series. The running joke is that video game films and shows are cursed. For every half-decent adaptation, like the most recent Tomb Raider or last year's Sonic the Hedgehog.
Wait. You're putting Tomb Raider in a half-decent category?
I was going to say that too.
I think it's half-decent, right? No?
I hated that movie.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Well, you're helping my point here too, because as I was saying, for every half-decent adaptation, there are about a dozen god-awful ones, right? Yeah, and those god-awful ones include Super Mario Brothers.
Don't Sorry, you Mike, dare.
Double Dragon, Prince of Persia, Assassin's Creed, Need for Speed, Dead or Alive, Hitman, Doom, Blood Rain, House of the Dead, and most of the Resident Evil franchise. And let's not forget everyone's favorite Matthew Lillard and Freddie Prinze Jr. film from 1999.
Oh, God.
What is it, Brian? Do you know?
Wing Commander.
Wing Commander. That's right.
I remember enjoying that movie back in the day. I probably wouldn't now, but I'm...
No. In preparation for this, I was looking at some stills from that movie, and it appears that I completely erased that movie from my memory.
I just remember when they warped and the time stood still and everybody was just like frozen in space.
Oh, yeah. That was like capitalizing on that Matrix bullet time stuff, wasn't it? Wasn't that right around that time?
I think it was before that.
I think it predates the Matrix, yeah. Or the same year. Wasn't 1999 the big year where Matrix came out?
I think it was 98 or
98. Oh, maybe it is a Matrix ripoff. God
wait
damn
a minute.
It.
Weren't the Wing Commander games already like little movies anyway? So why is it a Wing Commander movie? I don't know.
We're getting way off course because nobody knows what the hell Wing Commander is in 2021. Kids out there, just Google it.
Yeah.
So as that list proves, making a video game movie or TV show is very, very difficult. So with that in mind, let's give some studios some ideas. We recently decided to each independently come up with a video game film or TV series that we'd like to see get made. And as we've done previously with pitch episodes, we're going to provide a director, some casting ideas, and a synopsis for the film. So if you don't mind, I'd actually like to go first because I want to start by explaining what I think are some fatal flaws of previous video game films and TV series. For me, and this is all leading to my choice, for me, video game films fall kind of into two traps. One, they try to tell a story that we've already seen and interacted with, featuring characters that we know and love, and those tend to never live up to the actual playing of the video game. Or two, they pick a game that has very little narrative, like a Sonic or Mario, and try to make something up that usually leads to cheesy, forgettable films. Would you agree?
No. Super Mario Brothers, the movie, is great.
You have to admit, though, that they took the loosest of narratives and then added like extra dimensional stuff and dinosaurs and all kinds of crazy shit.
They did. Look, they did something with that movie.
Look, I will say this. It is not a great movie, but because it's not a great movie, it's so good. It's just one of those like so bad, what the hell were they thinking kind of movies. But you also have Bob Hoskins and John Leguizamo and Dennis Hopper going balls out nuts.
That was prime Dennis Hopper era where he was like, I'm not a villain, I can't overact, right?
Yes.
That was like a couple years before Waterworld and like
That Waterworld is peak peak Hopper when it comes to crazy ass villains.
Oh yeah. And a question for you, Michael, is it overall a bad movie or is it just a bad Super Mario Brothers movie?
I mean, some would argue both, but it's just the choices it makes are so strange that it's fascinating to me. I do think that Bob Hoskins and John Leguizamo are genuinely good in the movie. And they're actually fun to watch.
They're trying. They're trying something. And sometimes
they're trying all the things, actually. That's the problem. They're doing quite a bit. But anyway, I have a feeling, an inkling, that we will talk more Mario later. But before we get to that, let me get into something else here. So as I was saying, the problem is typically with video game movies, in my eyes, they never are as fun as the video game. And you end up watching it thinking, man, I'd rather be playing that video game, like with Assassin's Creed, Doom, Resident Evil. Or the film is just silly and forgettable, offering nothing except kind of that cash grab feeling of trying to capitalize on established franchise like Sonic, Mario, Mortal Kombat, all those. Yeah. So how do you fix this? Well, I think you take a video game with a strong concept that can be applied in various ways that doesn't rely on specific characters or designs or a specific story to tell. So you try to best to emulate the feeling you get when you play the game, the excitement, the joy, the tension. Mm-hmm. So with that in mind, I want to pitch Grand Theft Auto, the TV series.
The TV series?
TV series.
Yep.
I got my attention.
So in my fantasy world, Grand Theft Auto is a new FX TV series. It's an
pitch the network and everything.
I'm so tired. Yeah. Okay. It's an anthology series that has a few rules with each season. One, the setting has to be Liberty City, Vice City, or San Andreas, which are the three cities that, you know, these video games typically stay inside of. The main character of the TV shows, whatever season, cannot be one of the main characters from the video game franchise. Because in my eyes, the Grand Theft Auto stories are kind of open and shut, and there's no point in telling a story we've already seen. And three, an actual Grand Theft Auto crime must be the impetus for each story.
You're taking the Fargo approach.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's exactly it, right? The idea is that you hire each season a great, you know, showrunner, writer, director, whoever, and you give them those three rules and you say, create a crime story, but there's more. So in my eyes, the best part of, because again, I think the best way to do this is to try to emulate the feeling of playing the game, right? So the best part of Grand Theft Auto is learning the initial story and then taking that character and just going apeshit through the city, racking up all the stars you can. That leads to escalating responses from the police and the military. And the stories and lore of Grand Theft Auto are typically well done. But honestly, the most fun you have is when you're just doing outlandish balls to the wall shit. So that's what the series is going to do.
Dude, that sounds great.
It does, right?
I love it. I love it.
So for my season, because I've got the first season already planned out.
Oh, my God. Noah Hawley, clear your schedule.
No. Ooh. No. Ooh. Noah Hawley, let him work on Alien, please. Distract the man. I have a writer and director, and you're going to know both of these names. Mm. Writer Derek Kolstad from John Wick. And director, our buddy, Ilya Naishuller.
Oh.
Okay.
So, of nobody fame
and Hardcore Henry.
And Hardcore Henry.
So the setting is Liberty City, modern day. I feel like you have to do the first season in the city that kind of started the modern Grand Theft Auto series. And for those that don't know, Liberty City is kind of a rough amalgamation of like New York, Philadelphia, Jersey, all of those. And really quickly, here's my premise. There's a woman who's recently released from prison after serving 10 years for like burglary and attempting to rob a bank with her ex. She gets out, sees her family has fallen apart because she's been in jail for 10 years. That typical story. Her dad drank himself to death. Her mom's working two jobs, but she's got like kind of this asshole younger sister. And this woman is trying her best to like find a job, but she's, you know, an ex-con, can't find a job, but she refuses to go back to that life of crime business. So the kickoff starts where her younger sister gets kidnapped, and she goes, the woman goes through her criminal friends and is like, if you're anything. And they say, oh yeah, she was, you know, secretly taking on the role of her sister, kind of doing jobs for drug dealers, stealing stuff, general thievery. And the drug dealers, like, she ripped off the wrong person and drug dealers took her hostage. So now this woman has to get her sister back. And she does this by working one last job for the bad guys. And that last job, to steal a car. Not just any car, though. A van filled with drugs from a rival gang. Mm-hmm. And she does this because she's good at her job. She gets pulled over by the cops. Instead of trying to run, she does get pulled over. But she decides to fight the cop in typical like John Wick fashion, you know, kind of beating the shit out of him. And then she drives off. But what that does is, like the video game, basically gets her one star. And now the cops are after her. And she has to hide, which makes, you know, the drug dealer who has her daughter mad. And she ripped off another drug dealer, so he's mad. So basically, just like John Wick, she's got the whole Liberty City on her tail.
Can we have the stars up in like the upper corner there?
I think that would be fun. I think if you like name each kind of like in the title sequence of each episode, have like an allusion to how many stars she has. Because here's what happens. So it just starts with like petty crime, right? Well, not petty, but, you know, just stealing a van for a drug dealer. Then she punches a cop. Then she has to run. And then she has to kind of like rob people for money, like you do in Grand Theft Auto, mm-hmm. to buy guns, to protect herself. But then that makes her even more wanted. And eventually, the rest of the first season, she's getting into fistfights with local criminals. Things just get bigger and bigger and bigger. And eventually, by the final act, maybe like the last two episodes, she's a one-woman army with the entire police, military, and all the criminals of Liberty City out to get her. And she knows the only way she and her family can escape is, wait for it, drive to the airport and hijack a plane.
Oh, wonderful. That's wonderful.
Just like what everybody does when they play Grand Theft Auto. You go to the airport, you get in a plane, you fly off. So yeah, that's kind of the basic premise. And leading the cast, probably won't be a surprise, Alexandra Daddario, because I think she needs it. And I'll explain. I think she's like a hugely charismatic actress who has gotten kind of shit on because she's either given movies that really don't show her in what she's fully capable of. But if you watch her in like True Detective, she's great in True Detective. And I think she has the physicality to be a woman that could, you know, spend 4 or 5 months training to be a badass, shooting guns like John Wick, and eventually be believable, which I think is a huge part of it. You can't just hire anybody and like a Zendaya or something and expect us to believe that she could take on like two drug dealers and the police.
But so. She could, though.
Zendaya?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I mean, yeah, sure. But I think that's good. And as far as linking, because that really doesn't have much to do outside of the setting with Grand Theft Auto, I think you could then take some of the side characters from previous entries that were in, you know, Liberty City and pepper them in. You could even add Nico, who's like the protagonist from Grand Theft Auto 4. You could have him kind of have like a little cameo appearance, you know, hire some awesome actor. I don't know. Ilya knows some Russian guys, maybe. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that would be fun. Just little nods and winks here or there. But
he's the Ahsoka Tano of Grand Theft Auto, the series.
Right. But yeah, so that's my pitch. And then each season you hire somebody else and you do some, like I said, in Vice City. I would love to see kind of you play with the time too, kind of again like Fargo. You go back to the 80s of Vice City where it's just like Scarface. I mean, that would be really fun. I think there's infinite possibilities and it could be just like Fargo in the sense that it's kind of an experiment on what you can do within the confines of a very loose narrative. So, yeah.
Dude,
what do you think?
Bravo.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. I would absolutely watch that show.
I would too. That sounds like fun.
But that's what I think is the key to this, right? Is the fun aspect of it. Because, you could very easily take Grand Theft Auto 4 or 5 or even Grand Theft Auto 3 or Vice City, any of those movie or any of those games, and just adapt them word for word for a movie. Like, yeah, that's not difficult. But I think we've seen it. We've played it. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not sure about the Alexandria Daddario. I'm sorry. I know you love her. But, you know, I might go a different way with that.
I also was thinking Journey Smollett from Birds of Prey.
Yes.
I think she's good, too.
Okay.
She was my number two. I think in Birds of Prey, she showed that she can do the physicality. And I think she's also a really great actress who could be badass enough. And ultimately, though, I think as nobody showed us, if they can make Bob Odenkirk into a badass, really, yes, it's a matter of just picking a good actress and letting them do it.
But Bob Odenkirk could kick our ass. Let's be honest here.
I know. It's embarrassing. Embarrassing. But yeah. So that was mine, Grand Theft Auto. With that.
Could it have a part where, what was the thing you could always do? You could take somebody up in the helicopter and then drop them from like super high up in the air. Like, do you remember this, doing that in the game?
You could do all kinds of things. I was trying to, because again, I wanted to get the stealing of the airplane in there.
Yeah.
But I was thinking the best part also is it's a loop. You go, you hijack the airplane, you fly off, you wait till the jets come after you, and right before they're about to kill you, you jump out and you land somewhere and you do it all over again. But that doesn't make sense narratively. That's really ridiculous. And so.
You'd hit a ceiling real quick and then go, well, actually, Fast and the Furious has not hit a ceiling yet. So
literally, they're going to space.
Yeah.
this could very well, again, depending on the person taking control of the series, it could go Fast and Furious for a season and I'd be fine with that. Or it could go super grim and gritty and whatever. I think all those are valid in the GTA world. And I just think you have to, I don't think a movie would work because there's no way you could do Grand Theft Auto in a movie. And I don't think a straight up adaptation could work. So yeah, there you go.
I think you could do that in a movie, but I would like to see your version where it's like anthology series.
That's so genius. Like, oh man, each season would be so fresh and oh man.
Well, yeah. I think if anything, FX has shown us with American Horror Story and Fargo that anthology series can work really well if you've got, kind of a strong idea. So, yeah, I'm down. I'm going to save Mike for last because I think we're going to have a lot to talk about. So I want to throw it to Brian. Please let the people know what video game franchise you've chosen to adapt and why.
This was a little tough, but the choice was at the end of the day, I guess it wasn't a super hard choice. It would be a Punch-Out. Now, for those of you that don't remember Punch-Out, this was an arcade game, started off in the arcades. It was made by Nintendo, eventually ported to the NES, started off as Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. Then,
and for those that are really young, the NES is what we used to call the Nintendo before the Super Nintendo.
Nintendo Entertainment System. So yeah, Nintendo Entertainment System. It started off as Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, named after the boxer of the time, and everybody knows Mike Tyson. Yeah.
Eventually, have you seen his recent training videos?
No.
The guy's in his 50s and he looks ripped, like he could murder somebody.
Oh, really? Yeah. Wow. Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
I didn't know he was in his 50s. Well, that's
interesting. I think he is.
Eventually, he lost the license to use Tyson. It became Punch-Out. And the game is just this. You just play this character. His name is Little Mac. He's coached by this older. We don't know much about his trainer, but Doc Lewis is his name. And he fights this really colorful cast of boxers that in the game you can see they are physically, I would say, twice his size. Like every boxer is substantially bigger. They all have interesting characteristics. They're all just great. They have their weaknesses, they have their strengths, but as the game goes on, they get wicked tough. I think Tyson was the last opponent in the first game, and then when they lost him, I think the last guy was Super Macho Man. I think can you guys correct me on that? Okay,
I think that's right.
So the movie, this would be a movie. I really was struggling with this a little bit because, I mean, how do you differentiate this from Rocky? And really, I guess the inspiration here comes from, hear me out, Dick Tracy.
Oh.
Now, Dick Tracy, another That's another nostalgic film for me, but it's about this detective who basically goes up against this rogues gallery of, like, it's set in the 30s. He's a detective. These are all these, like, bad guys in this city, and I don't know, they're criminal empire. Anyways, each bad guy in this, in Dick Tracy and the comic that it's based on, are just so exaggerated looking. I mean, they are just ripped right from the pages of the comic. One guy has, like, a square head called Flat Top. Another one has no face. He's called the Blank. They're essentially monsters. So that's the
way. Which one was Al Pacino?
Pacino was a Big Boy Caprice.
That's right.
He is great. He is just great. But
we actually, if you're interested to read more about Dick Tracy, we celebrated its anniversary, I believe, last year with a think piece that's really well written. So
did you?
Yeah.
Oh, I'd love to read that. I would.
It's on a website called The Playlist.
Theplaylist.net. Hey. But anyways, that's kind of my thought for this was it would be, yeah, a boxing film, but the bad guys would be just as over the top as they are in the game. For Doc Lewis and Little Mac, the main character, I'm thinking for Little Mac, Alden Ehrenreich. I feel like
Solo himself.
Yeah, like that movie he spent, I thought he actually looked pretty beat up, kind of dirty throughout the film. So I feel like in a movie like this, well,
how dare you? He's a very handsome man.
He is. But I feel like I could see him in a ring. I could see him in a boxing ring. For Doc Lewis, there's one person that came to mind, and that would be Will Smith.
Okay.
I feel like Will Smith would be as, because how old is Smith now?
He's in his 50s.
It was either Will Smith or Sidney Poitier. I don't know. I went with Will Smith.
Weathers, man.
I think he'd be pretty good.
I have one question for you. You say we're doing exaggerated. So is this being played as a comedy or is this sincere with just kind of wackiness?
This is sincere with wackiness. And another, this actually goes back maybe to last year, because I don't know why it occurred to me at that time, but I thought that's when I first thought of this idea. And I had the trailer all figured out, and the trailer would basically be it would essentially be the exact same as we saw for Logan with Johnny Cash's Hurt playing in the background. So I couldn't get the trailer out of my head. I did pitch it to a few people and they politely declined. pass on the idea, but
wait. How is it? Set the stage for me. Where does Hurt and Johnny Cash come in?
The trailer would be, essentially it's the same as the Logan trailer. It would just be him facing off against these guys. There'd be some voiceover probably by Will Smith's character, Doc Lewis, you know, like, oh, you got to go the distance or something. I don't know. But yeah, we would see just glimpses of the opponents. We wouldn't see what Super Macho Man looks like. We wouldn't see what Piston Honda looks like or Glass Joe. We'd save that for the movie. Cause it's like when we saw the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles on the screen for the first time, we want to save that experience. Cause they're just going to look, yeah, this is going to be it's going to be played straight. It's going to be played serious, but the boxers are going to look like, yeah, you're going up against something that's not from this planet.
Are they going to be twice the size of Alden Ehrenreich?
Yes. And that's where I don't know. I assume we're probably going to have to cast WWE. like I swear John Cena would be so good as Super Macho Man. Like
I could see that.
He would be awesome. We'd have to put The Rock in there somewhere. I mean, that might be a little below him, but I don't know. Just thinking about like using those guys, cause they are physically huge. I see that being the only way to go. But Mike had mentioned earlier today, would Tyson have a cameo at some point? And yeah, absolutely. I just don't know where, but you had an interesting idea before, Charles, that made me laugh. That made us laugh.
It was more of a cold open where it's, you know, the movie starts with Mike Tyson kind of in that little Mac role. And he just gets laid out by like a Glass Joe or somebody.
Yeah.
And then it cuts to
Joe. You're going to have to him by somebody.
Mr. Sandman, Soda Popinski. I mean, you name him, whoever.
Yes. It's got to be Super Macho Man to really establish how badass he is.
That's true. Macho Man knocks out Mike Tyson. And we're talking 18-year-old, 19-year-old, just got his world championship, Mike Tyson.
Marvel-aged. Okay.
Well, sure. Ooh, and it cuts to the title where it would have said Mike Tyson's punch out, but you just then erase Mike Tyson from it, and it just says Punch Out with the two exclamation points.
Oh, I'm not against it. I'm not. Yeah, the two exclamation points. Yeah, and I just, I don't know. This, I see it as being just like a mix between Rocky and yeah, just complete and utter silliness, even down to the credits. Like the end of the credits, I would, you would, the final, you know, credits would roll, and then you'd hear a sound that sounds like somebody taking a game out of the NES or something, or some shutdown sound, or I don't know.
Every credits has to be the coach on the bike.
Yep.
And Will Mack running beside him.
Yeah.
Here's what I would like. I would like an intermission, and the intermission comes up where the movie just cuts out at an inexplicable time, and you just hear somebody go, and then they put it back in, and it turns on again.
Oh God.
These are wonderful ideas, and I see no reason, Will Smith, Alden, you're listening right now, I know, to just start getting in shape, because we want you to look good for this movie when it does get made next year. So yeah, Punch Out, I think, do I think it could work? Maybe not, I don't know, but I can't get it out of my head. And I was just listening to Hurt again as we were eating dinner as a family and trying to tell them about this idea.
Sorry, man, I'm just imagining the Farver household eating dinner silently as Johnny Cash talks about hurting himself. That is the most dreary and depressing thing I've ever heard in my life, Brian.
It lasted about 3 seconds, and then the kids wanted to hear Fireflies by Owl City, and I obliged.
I don't know which is worse.
I don't know.
Well, I genuinely enjoy the Johnny Cash cover, but for dinner time with the family, that's probably not the choice.
I was telling my daughter, I was saying to Isabel, like, oh, you want to hear this song? This is the idea I had for the trailer for this Punch Out movie.
And she's like, first, what's Punch Out?
What are you talking about?
Second, video games used to come on cartridges? What?
Yes. And like, we have Nintendo Switch Online, so we have the original Punch Out, and my son has played it, but the idea of like, yeah, physical media is so, that's so 90s. But yeah, Punch Out. We'll see.
We have it on the arcade downstairs.
That's right. Along with, did you say Data East Ghostbusters is on there?
Mm-hmm.
My favorite arcade game of all time. Favorite arcade game.
We are dating ourselves at an embarrassing rate right now. We need to stop what we're
crumbling to dust.
Yeah, this is, people are really tuning out at this point. So with that in mind, let's talk about another 80s video game.
Yes.
But this one is relevant because they still make games based on it.
I was just playing it with my son.
Okay, so with that,
which one? This one?
The Switch one, yeah.
Oh, cool.
Okay. Mike, pitch us your video game adaptation.
So, I mean, it's been spoken about the whole episode, you know, mainly by just me, is Super Mario Brothers. And one, I picked this because I already had an idea from a decade ago that's probably still not very good. But two, it's Super Mario Brothers. And it makes no freaking sense as far as like a narrative story goes. So it's just one of those things that I just wanted to have fun with it, fun with the characters, and just kind of make it the movie that I would watch, but literally no studio in their right mind would make. So it's like a hard R over the top B action movie that is like The Raid.
Just know, right now my eyes are closed. I'm sitting back in my seat and I'm taking this in. I cannot wait. I cannot wait.
Yes. So it's called Super Mario : Bowser's Tower. And like I said, it's hard R. It's like The Raid, where most of it takes place in like a tower. Only it takes place in not Trump Tower, but Bowser Tower in Mushroom City. So basically, in the beginning, we learn that Peach has gone missing for a couple of weeks after her and Mario kind of go on a bit of a break. Luigi and Toad, who are people, not a mushroom-headed dude.
Is he going to wear a hat that resembles a mushroom?
He does have a hat with a mushroom on it, yes.
Oh, my God, guys, this is the best night of my life. This is the best night of my whole life.
And controversial choice, they're not plumbers by trade.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Anyways, Luigi and Toad track Peach down.
All the laying pipe jokes that you missed in your hard R Mario brother.
Dude, there's going to be plenty of laying pipe in there.
Okay.
where were we? Luigi and Toad. They managed to track her down via Peach's stepfather. Basically, they have a picture of her going into Bowser Tower, being embraced by Bowser. They assume she's being held against her will, and based on the story that her stepfather told her, and decide to violently, you know, break her out, disguising themselves as plumbers to gain entrance to the building.
There we go. All fixed now.
So at this point, violent, over the top chaos, including like the lobby level where somehow Bowser had seen them coming or knew that they were coming, had a greeting party laid out for them. The violence kicks off, I will just say this, by them getting their bags confiscated. They open the bags. What's in them? A bunch of ba-bombs.
And holy Christ.
Mario
holy
has the Christ. Trigger and sets it off. So explosions go off. Mario hits the desk. He jumps in the air and stomps on Iggy's head, exploding it into bloody, you know, mayhem.
Oh.
And at which point, you know, it's just like, oh my God, that was so much worse than I thought it would be. You know, one of those moments. But anyways.
Did you see that guy's? His head just blew up.
Exactly. So you know the tone I'm going for here, and it's way over the top and very cheeky and almost cartoonishly R-rated. So they gain entrance to the building. They have Toad is basically their guy in the chair. He's the tech dude that's in the van, and he's trying to gain access to the private elevator that goes straight to Bowser's penthouse, basically, but he can't do it. So they decide to start on the stairs where, unbeknownst to them, some, you know, giant whiskey barrels start coming down the stairs. They get, you know, they bolt out of the way just to get out of there. They get knocked into what looks like a distillery because Bowser is so rich and so boozy that he has a private distiller who is an Armenian hairy ass giant named Kong. Who is throwing the barrels down the stairs to corner them into his distillery. So
I love it.
Yes. Ultimately, you know, there's a showdown between them, which involves Luigi taking something that Toad left in his pocket that has a patch with a big star on it that he slaps on his skin where his veins meet in his wrist. And it basically is a giant steroid thing that juices him up.
Drug.
And so they get there's a lot of action that ensues for them to get up each floor. There's a showdown between Mario and Bowser that ends with, you know, there's this big like back and forth between them, you know, ultimately laying out who Bowser is and why Mario's come for him and how he knew and all that stuff. But only to learn or only for them to kind of like break out into a fight. Mario ends up gaining control of Bowser's gun and shoots him 4 times in the chest to realize, OK, Peach is here. She's here of her own will. He's actually her dad. Big twist.
Wow.
So he'd taken her. He did take her in an attempt to try to develop a relationship with her. She started staying of her own free will, but she realized he was a really bad dude. And, you know, he had plans to divide and ravage the city for his own profit, that kind of thing. Trumpism. But basically everyone escapes. But not before, like, the, you know, word gets out that Bowser's dead. The cops are surrounding the building. They need to get out. They can't go out through the ground floor. They're trying to figure their way out. They find their way up to the roof. They can't get off there. They have to go through a giant. Well, we wanted to do a drain pipe, but, you know, it ended up having to be like a giant vent. So you're riding down the giant vent. It gets to like the third floor. They have to break the window, and what's outside? A giant flagpole with a Bowser flag that they have to ride down to the street level. At which point, Toad has, of course, souped up carts waiting for them to have basically like a wicked, you know, and by the way, while they're riding down that flagpole, don't think there won't be like a like giant fucking metal flames, all that. So yeah, and it basically ends in the Mario Kart chase. The cops are trying to chase them down through Mushroom City. Mario and Peach leave the Mushroom City as fugitives from the law, you know, slinging bananas and all the shit they have in their
I love it.
Yeah. So it's in no way a movie that should be made, but would I want to watch it? Absolutely.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I think I would argue that it should be made, even if you get a copyright strike thrown against you. Because obviously Nintendo is not going to have anything to do with that.
Exactly.
I mean, hard R political Mario with exploding heads and drug use? No.
And it works in all of, like, Donkey Kong and Mario. I know. So how? Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you'd have to do some like Mario Maker stuff. Like, you could go super deep into the illusions and Easter eggs. True. But Mike, do you have cast members?
Oh, yes. Yes. So I had to go, you know, Italian dudes.
of course.
So our, like Bob our friend and former our friend and former podcast guest, Frank Grillo.
Of course.
Cast
Mario, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
His younger, taller, better looking brother Luigi is Joe Manganiello.
Wow. Okay.
All right.
That's a buff Mario and Luigi.
I know. I know. They're well, I would hope they kind of let themselves go for this one.
Have you met those guys?
Just so they look like shit for this movie. I just want them to try to look like shit.
But here's the thing that's awesome about this. If Frank Grillo, if you talk to him about this, he seems like the right kind of guy who'd be like, hell yeah, I'll do that. And we know Joe Manganiello loves video games and is a big nerd. So
yes. Yes. Yeah. Peach, I wanted Alicia Vikander.
Nice.
Toad, good.
Is their little buddy Dylan O'Brien.
Okay.
And Bowser.
American Assassin himself.
Yes. And Bowser is played by Brendan Gleeson.
Ooh.
Brendan Gleeson as Bowser. That is interesting.
Yeah.
I could see he's very Trumpy. Yeah. Wasn't he Trump in Comey Rule?
He was.
Yeah.
Which is pretty much why I picked it. but director-wise, I have three options, and they're the obvious ones. Gareth Evans of The Raid, David Leitch of John Wick fame, Joe Carnahan of, you know, Smoking Aces.
Carnahan would probably kill it.
Yeah. I think of those three, you might be able to convince Joe Carnahan.
He's pretty busy, but I think I got
No, no, no. I mean, but like Gareth Evans seems to be kind of disinterested in anything to do with The Raid. True. Whereas Joe Carnahan's like, yeah, let's do this. That sounds batshit crazy.
I mean, let's get our buddy Frank on the line and just pitch it, you know?
I like it.
What is the last line going to be? Please just tell me, like, because the last line, I know you, it's going to be something so good and it's probably going to make me either cry or just cream myself. So just what's the last line of the Mario movie?
I know what it is, but I'll let Mike.
I want to hear both of yours. Oh, man.
It was something to the effect of it's not going to be the ridiculous like Mario voice. Here we go. But it was him saying, here we go. As they speed out.
I do like that. But also I would pay top dollar to hear Frank Grillo saying the final word. Like somebody says, like, what's your name? And he goes, it's a me, Mario.
Oh, it's a me.
Oh, no.
Oh.
That is a great trailer moment, though.
Yep.
What do you say? Like, it's a me. And then cocking the gun, Mario, boom, and fires the gun. Is the bitches. Oh, he throws bitches at the end. Oh, clapping. This is the sound of clapping.
Well, I mean, you have to at that point, right?
You have to at that point. Is the gun called Bullet Bill?
Ooh.
Bill on the side?
We could do that, but there were like Chomskys, you know, those little things on the chain that would chomp at you.
Yeah.
Those were dogs, Rottweilers, in Brendan Gleeson's little pad.
Oh, good choice.
That
good
were on
choice.
A chain. There was all kinds of little stuff that, you know, I peppered in there.
So for Bowser, though, obviously you can't go full on like dinosaur.
No.
But there has to be something about it, right? Like, I know you're doing this like edgy kind of all real sort of thing, but they are in Mushroom City. So will he have like a spiked collar or something? Like,
yeah.
What if he has a giant Bowser face tattooed on his chest? I feel like he needs to take off his shirt for no reason at some point and reveal a giant tattoo.
Yeah, like he's got Frank like beaten down and he's doing that like mafioso thing where he takes off, he like slowly unbuttons his silk shirt, revealing this ridiculous dragon Bowser dinosaur tattoo. I would love that.
That's great.
Yeah, yeah. I can see that scene playing out in my head. What did Bowser throw, like, in the first game? The very first game, what was he throwing at you when you encountered him? Was it fireballs or axes?
Yeah, I believe it was fire. Or something? Well, yeah, he had axes too, didn't he?
Could he? Oh, yeah. Could he grab, like, a fire axe off of the wall at some point and throw it at Mario? Or, like, oh, wait, then Mario shoots him. So that's almost like a fireball.
Mario would have to have fireballs too, right?
Yeah.
Like, you would have to play, you do the star thing, which is, I think, is really clever. But
that's,
I think,
a good power up.
I think you got to do the drug thing for all of them, right?
Yeah, there, like, was a green mushroom that revived Luigi when he got shot.
Like a one up.
Oh, yeah. I love the idea of them being like these holistic badasses that just carry various mushrooms and power ups with them.
Well, Toad has stashed them in their pockets, yes.
Like Toad, some sort of like drug dealer. Yeah. On the side, and he just has like mushrooms and injectables.
Yes, exactly. It's like future, like, steroids.
Nuke.
Like Dread. Wasn't that a big key point of the Dread remake? So our drugs
and RoboCop
a big part
2.
Of this?
Nuke. Come on, guys.
Oh, yes, Nuke. Kane's Nuke, yes.
The only thing I'm realizing I didn't put in there is a sex scene, and there needs to be just like a full length pipe scene.
Yeah.
Well, that's for the rewrite, guys.
That's when Nintendo comes back and says, we're all about this rated R Joe Carnahan Mario, but we need boobs.
More penetration, please.
Now, look, I once read...
Joe, we're going to go unsimulated sex for this movie.
Can we go full Eyes Wide Shut on this one, guys?
Caligula, yeah.
Oh, I, wow. I read a treatment, or no, actually, I think it was a full script that Max Landis wrote for a Super Mario World movie, and it was really hard to get through.
This, you lost me at Max Landis.
I was. That's why I kind of shuddered a little bit as I was saying that. But yeah, this is so much better. This oddly makes sense to me. This Mario idea. This makes total sense.
Yeah,
this
could didn't understand how to make it make sense as like a kid's movie or something that would be good for the property. Yeah, so I was just like, fuck it, I'm going to make it what I want to see.
So here's the thing about Mario. When you get down to it, it's so weird and abstract and violent that it really can't be a kid's movie. Like, even when they tried to do it with the movie you love, the 90s Mario, I wouldn't argue that that's a kid's movie. That has got some scary shit in it. Like,
It really has very little to do with the games.
No, but then it has a lot to do with the games, because they went out of their way to somehow make it so that dinosaurs were like real. And like, wasn't like Yoshi in that or something? Like,
Yoshi was in that. Yeah.
Yeah. Boy. Obviously. Lovely. And Frank Grillo is going to have like a pit bull named Yoshi or something, right?
Oh, God, yeah. Where's Yoshi in this?
Let's just say it was that. I did not have an idea for Yoshi.
Okay.
It's either that or he's got like an iguana or some shit.
Here we go.
I think a pitbull is way cooler.
A giant bearded dragon that he just lets roam around his apartment.
Yeah. And then maybe there's like a drug scene where he imagines riding it. Like, that's what we don't know, is that before they faked as plumbers and murdered a whole lot of people in Bowser's Tower, they just did a lot of mushrooms on at their house. And like, then you could like intersperse like real, honest to God, like live action adaptations of Mario levels of them like breaking bricks with their head and eating mushrooms and stepping on like whatever Koopas or whatever.
So the whole movie is just an increasingly crazy acid trip or mushroom trip.
At the end, it's just revealed that it's just Frank Grillo in his underwear running around his apartment, just stoned off his ass.
That's like, not a bad version either, guys.
And like his kid, who's in boss level, we found out, his kid looks at him and says, "Dad, what are you doing?" He's like, "I'm not dad. It's me, Mario."
says, "Shut up, Wario," and he punches his kid in the face.
That's how it ends. That's how the movie ends. Oh boy.
So if we're gonna say, hey,
God, I'm dizzy. I'm actually dizzy.
If we're gonna line up these three and say, hey, we're gonna actually make one of these, I absolutely think Charles should be made.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I definitely want to see an over the top rated R. Why the fuck did they make this Super Mario film?
Well, and I want to see Punch Out, where it's played like fucking Rocky, but with Dick Tracy villains. Like,
yes.
I can't wrap my head around Rocky with Dick Tracy villains. I got to be honest, Farber, but I will.
No, I know. And it would all just come down to the casting, because they couldn't it's not like we would make them up to look so silly. But we also have to assume that in this movie, he's probably gonna be fighting a lot of like underground fights as well. Like maybe he'd go up to, you know, Canada, and that's where he'd meet Bear Hugger, if we want to work in guys from Super Punch Out. You mentioned Bear Hugger before. So yeah, he'd work his way through the, what was it, the Video Game Boxing Association, wasn't that it, in the original game? He'd work his way through. And
I'm trying to figure out a way to work the power glove in. I can't. Maybe there's training gloves.
Yeah. So here's the thing, is you can't have a power glove scene that could possibly top the wizard.
Yeah, you're true. Right.
So you just don't.
I love power glove.
In the case.
Yep.
Speaking of, I thought Rad Racer might make a cool movie too.
Oh, I actually thought of that. That was one of my
you?
Oh. Yeah. That we, Brian and I talked, I was thinking Star Fox, Rad Racer, Grand Theft Auto, of course, and I forget what my fourth one was. I was trying to think of.
I was very Metroid? Close to pitching a hard R Mega Man as well.
That could work so well.
Yes. Another project that when you break it down is super creepy and weird. And
yeah, does not make sense.
No.
Mega Man, yeah. Who would you have for the director of your Star Fox film?
Oh boy, I don't know.
Wing Commander. Who directed Wing Commander?
Not that guy.
I think Edgar Wright could do pretty well with a Star Fox film. You know, it would have a good soundtrack at the very least.
Yeah. I think Edgar Wright would be like an inspired choice for Punch Out, though, too. If you look at something like Scott Pilgrim, he has a way of making something that's full of heart yet uber ridiculous.
That's a good point. It does have to have like an emotional core to it. My thought was James Mangold. So I guess I'm just.
You're just on that Logan. You.
I just love Logan so much.
Let go of James Mangold.
Yeah, I actually Edgar Wright might work too. Certainly he'd bring the energy. There's no question. Those fights would ooze energy. So
I almost think that Alden Ehrenreich, though, if I can poo-poo your selection, is too tall.
Yeah, that.
May I pitch my very own Toad, Dylan O'Brien?
Dylan O'Brien.
Or Brian's favorite, Zac Efron.
And now we're bringing it full circle, because my first choice was Mike's all-time favorite actor, Sir Dave Franco.
Oh. Got it. That he does have a punchable face, I'll give him that.
Whoa. I could see Dave Franco really doing well, though.
Really?
Efron.
Yeah.
Efron's got the build, man. He's...
Yeah. I was recently watching Baywatch, because it was on one of the channels. And his body is so ripped. He has muscles on muscles in that movie. Yes. And it's almost disturbing. Like, I felt gross watching it. Like, they needed to censor his body.
That's a terrible movie. Just a terrible movie.
It is really
something. It's not terrible. It's got some moments. No. Particularly,
you're talking about Alexandra Daddario.
Okay.
Okay.
Just okay. Because... I mentioned a movie that she happens to be in and is pretty good in.
Yeah.
Okay, sure she is.
Whatever. This is a personal attack and I will not stand for it.
You really want to revive her career. And I love it.
Revive her career? She's doing just fine, guys.
Okay, sure she is, buddy.
Hey, she was in a pretty good movie I reviewed last year. Lost Girls in Love Hotels. Check it out. It's really dark and depressing, but pretty good.
Everybody's heard of that one.
Hey, and she's got a new TV show coming out with Sydney Sweeney and other people.
Totally.
Yeah. her career is doing fine, guys. She was in fucking Songbird.
She was in Songbird, yeah. she was in Songbird.
You know, that pandemic movie everybody watched. Anyway, enough about Alexandra Daddario.
I never thought I'd hear you say, by the way.
God, I hate you guys. Anyway, as I was going to say, we're doing this episode in lieu of fully talking about Mortal Kombat because we will be talking about something else next week. But Mortal Kombat is coming out next Friday. You can check it out on HBO Max and in theaters. Joe Taslim, who's a personal favorite of ours, is in the movie and pretty good in it. But that's about all I can say about the movie. And for the life of me, don't try to convince me that the 90s Mortal Kombat is any good, because it's not.
Yeah.
It's not. No, you're right.
There's a lot of nostalgia creeping out over the past month or so. People saying that Mortal Kombat's a decent movie. It's not a decent movie. Everybody should go watch it. And then skip Annihilation, because that's... Oof.
God, that is a piece of crap. Like, I guess, why is the first one so bad? Is it boring? I kind of feel like it's a little boring.
It's a bit low budge, as the kids say.
Oh yeah.
The green screen is god awful, and here's what I'll say: the good parts of that movie are basically encompassed in the final fight between Liu Kang and Shang Tsung, with the song playing in the background.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool. Outside of that, everything else is pretty terrible. The guy who plays Johnny Cage is pretty good, though.
Yeah, he really plays up that role well.
That's about all I have to say about Mortal Kombat. All I can think about is the new one. I want to talk about it, but I can't talk about it. It's your fault.
I do too.
I know. Who knows? Maybe when everything's all said and done and we can, you know, have some distance from that movie, we will relitigate the movie, or litigate the movie, since we can't talk about it now. But yeah, everybody go out and check it out. There's really nothing else to watch in theaters. See Godzilla versus Kong. I don't know why people are paying money to see that.
Smashy, dude. Smashy.
I know. And good on you, Adam Wingard, for reviving theaters.
Why am I on the Alexandra Daddario Wikipedia right now? Why? Why am I here?
What were you trying to look up?
I'm just looking to see what else she's done. Oh, she was in another video game movie, Rampage.
Yeah. She's good friends with her San Andreas dad, The Rock.
Ah, yes.
San Andreas, pretty solid disaster movie.
What else has she been in?
True Detective. Percy Jackson.
Ah, yes, Percy.
Boy. That Hall Pass movie? Oh, good.
The what movie?
All Pass, the Farrelly Brothers.
That was pretty dreadful.
Farrelly Brothers film.
I have a feeling this isn't going to make the podcast.
I'm going to edit Mike saying things like, I love Alexandra Daddario. <That's good. laughs> But yeah, we should probably wrap up. Let's wrap up and yeah, just stick around next week. We'll have a little bit of Mortal Kombat talk where we talk to Joe Taslim, who plays Sub-Zero. And yeah, these movies that we pitched sound like a lot of fun, probably won't get made. And it's a damn shame in my eyes.
One last question for you guys. Oh, go ahead, Mike. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, Charles, throw out the generic email for the playlist if those studios are listening and they want to make them.
they know how to reach us. I'll keep my email wide open for you guys and
email me freakinacage.com.
What?
Dude, Where's My Car reference? Okay, that won't make the podcast either.
Freak in a Cage.
Andy Dick, everybody.
Oh wow. Brian, what was your question?
My question is, are studios going to figure out the formula and start making consistently good video game films at some point in the future? That's my last question for you guys. Charles says no.
So here's my thing. I will reference what Ben Wheatley recently said in our interview, where he said that video games and movies have meshed a lot. Video games have taken a lot of inspiration from movies, and movies have taken a lot of inspiration from games. And when you try to adapt a video game and you take away that interactivity, it loses kind of a thing. It just turns into a regular movie with suddenly a dumb story. Yeah, so it's it's very difficult. I think if to make it work, you have to kind of go batshit crazy like what we just did tonight, or really like reinvent the wheel.
I'm holding out hope for the Halo show that's coming, but you never know.
Halo is, again, it's one of those stories where do you want to watch guys shoot aliens, or would you rather just fire up the video game and shoot aliens? It's tough.
Both? Can I do both?
Yeah. Yeah, sure. But then you have something like HBO's going to do, was it Last of Us?
Yeah. See, that could break the mold.
Well, but the thing is the video game is basically an interactive movie.
Here's the thing, though. And there is an audience for this stuff, and it's lazy people like me who refuse to play the game because it takes too much of their time and they have three kids. So just give me something that I can swallow, you know, quickly and in digestible chunks.
That's fair, but also I don't know that that's kind of what a lot of people want. I mean, because there are going to be diehard people who've played the games and know every line and who are going to say, well, they changed that. They messed up.
Hear me out. There's a cameo by Alexandra Daddario.
Obviously. Okay. Thanks for shooting the shit again with me, guys, talking video games and bad movies. Mm-hmm. My favorite things in the world. And we will be back next week with more wackiness. Thanks.
Zoinks.
Zoinks.